Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:33 in that specific summer time. Well, generally positive day in markets today. That German economic expansion is still proceeding at quite a pace, and obviously it's benefiting enormously from the weakness of the euro. And the euro obviously has had a bounce from about 105 to 111 and a bit over the last 3 months, but that doesn't make up for the decline that it had from 140 down to 105. However, when you look at stock markets, that you currency adjust, say, Volkswagen. And Volkswagen was one of the better performers in the beginning of the year and then gave up its entire advance. Well, that's not entirely due to the currency. Certainly the advance was the depreciation of the euro earlier in the year would have been a tailwind for equity prices generally and asset prices, but they've pulled back much more sharply than the euro has rallied, and at least part of the reason for that is because of China fears. And China today was a little bit more positive, not least because there was some figures that imports are down sharply, but that exports aren't down as much as people had been expecting. That opens up the potential that there's going to be additional monetary easing from China. And that's potentially really quite good news. The Hong Kong market is deeply oversold. And now back at the lower side of the range for the H-share index, and the Hang Seng has broken its medium-term progression of higher reaction lows. And even if we were talking about just a reversionary rally, then there, it has a long way to go before it's going to retrace to the mean. We're in a very deeply oversold condition. And there's been all of this commentary online and in the financial media about the potential for Hong Kong to change its peg to the US dollar. And I personally think that that is quite unlikely. But I guess if you were to look at it, the prospect of that peg being changed and the Hong Kong dollar getting stronger is zero. And you would have to have a pretty dire set of circumstances unfolding in mainland China to have that kind of impact on the Hong Kong economy. They might not want to have to raise interest rates, but the peg has survived both major bull and bear markets, and I don't really see that there's any particular reason that it would have to be changed anytime soon. But certainly, we have this oversold condition, and you haven't had the valuation expansion in Hong Kong shares that you had as a result of the major bull market in Chinese equities earlier this year. They're really quite cheap, and there's not an awful lot of people interested. And when you look at, say, Great Wall Motors, where it has fallen by upwards of 60, even 70%, or Lenovo, which, despite a pretty significant hiccup in their manufacturing process with regard to their major loopholes in their security apparatus, but they are still one of the largest manufacturers of computers, and that share is down in an incredibly accelerated decline. Well, even if one is bearish, then the potential for a mean reversion rally has increased in some of these indices. But when you look more widely, then, for example, a number of Korean shares are returning to positions of outperformance, and both Kia and Hyundai are really starting to look like that they may potentially break their medium-term downtrends, at least in nominal terms. But when you look at the one, then this is completed base formation type action. And sure, the one was a little bit firmer in here today, but medium-term, then there's nothing on that chart says that the one isn't going to get weaker from here, which would suggest that your Korean equities could begin to become the subject of additional bullish sentiment from foreign investors, not least as they're pulling the money out of other places, that the hedged trade, which has worked so well in Japan and then in Europe, might well be starting to be applied to Korea as well. When we look at Europe, then the euro was a little bit firmer in here today. I think it was up about 0.5%. That's coming in at around 1.12. And the pound was also a bit stronger in here today, up about 0.8%. It's back up to 1.54 even. So it's unwinding that short-term oversold condition. when we look at the euro over the medium term, then the region of 115 really is a psychological level, not least because it's a round number, but also it's the region of the 200-day moving average. And we encountered resistance there about 2 weeks ago. Therefore, a sustained move above 115 would really start to put additional pressure on any euro shorts. And the impact that that may have on stock markets could send us additionally into ranging territory here. But today what we're seeing is that the reasonably good move that we had on Friday has been followed through on for Wall Street. And that sent the major indices up of over 2%. The S&P was up 2.5% and is now back to 1969. The question, of course, is what's it going to do when it gets to about the 2000 level, which is a big round number. That moves of 2% and 2.5% have become commonplace. So we're going to just need more. That there has been damage done to this this trend, and this is still a reasonably high volatility environment. In Europe, the majority of indices have pulled back, and pulled back more than Wall Street has. So they have more potential to have reversionary rallies, because Wall Street has done it just about already. And then it's also in Europe where we're going to have additional quantitative easing. What is particularly interesting today is that the Nikkei was down at 2.4%, and that really bucked the trend of international markets. When you look at the yen, then the yen was a little bit weaker in here today. And considering that Wall Street is closing out the day up over 2%, then the short-term oversold condition in Japan has the potential to be unwound. And that's potentially looking sort of interesting at this point. What was also interesting in here today was the divergence in the performance between the various oil contracts. The Brent crude contract was up by over a dollar, while WTI was down 30 cents. Obviously, we haven't yet had the reduction in supply from reasonably high-cost producers in the USA, and not least because of technology and private equity flows. And that's helping to keep a lid on the any kind of rebound in crude oil prices. But what we did see today was that copper prices rallied really rather impressively, and that's now broken the short-term progression of lower rally highs. And there is potential there for an additional reversionary rally, even within the context of what is still a medium-term downtrend, that we could have an additional rally in here in some of these commodities. And I'm going to post the cocoa chart in here today as well, because despite the fact that you have had just incredible volatility in asset classes, it hasn't been universal. And that's probably worth highlighting, that cocoa has pulled back to the region of the 200-day moving average and bounced. And it's had now, this is its third week on the upside. So there is an incredible amount of commentary going out, that and people are expressing I think a lot of analysts feel that they need to make bold forecasts so that in the event that anything dire happens, that they'll be able to say, well, that's what I said back then. Well, I don't believe that this is a time to become progressively more bearish, but rather that when you have something that has been deeply oversold and there is the potential for reversionary action, well, that's certainly a more favorable time to be opening positions rather than waiting for what could be a substantial rally and where something might be approaching its first area of potential resistance. So I think that this is more of a stock picker's environment still, rather than a call celebre for the wide market, that we're probably still in for quite a bit of ranging because of the continued uncertainty as to exactly where we're going to go and what's going to happen with interest rates. And that's really only one central bank, because the Bank of China, the Bank of England, the Bank of Switzerland, and the European Central Bank, they're certainly not going to be raising interest rates in the short term. And in fact, more than half of those central banks are in very accommodative monetary policy environment. And money is not going to stay where it is created, that it is both mobile and global, and that it will find the most attractive assets. And some of those are now in China, and some of them are in Europe, and you're getting a number of very deep oversold conditions in the industrial metals and even in the energy sector. So this is certainly a time where there are going to be, you know, reasonably good entry opportunities for medium to longer term investors. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.